The Profit Express is back after a long COVID-induced hiatus. And it's great to be here with you. And as always, we're here to help you win the battle for business each and every day. And now it's taken on a special meaning because that battle for business is now in a COVID economy. So again, it's great being back. And I thought, what better guest to have on the first, you know, post-hiatus of the Profit Express than Tom Fabry. Tom's journey is one that I followed myself personally, professionally since 2012. And he is an adventurer, a fitness expert, an author, a mountain climber, and a life wrangler. We'll get into that life wrangling part in just a little bit. And so much of what we talked about was what you learned in the early part of your life until you were into your mid to late 20s. And unfortunately, it was one failure after the next through divorces, in and out of jail, bankruptcy, being homeless. Mm-hmm. And I continue to share this, Tom, because you just don't know who listens. And let's face it, you never know what somebody's story really is. And I know for a fact that when people are going to be listening to our conversation, they're relating to you in one way or another. They may never climb the seven summits or fly a jet, but they've had some life experiences similar to yours. And another thing that you said I thought was really powerful is we talked about excuses, but also owning it. You're also, and I give you a lot of credit, I'm not as good as you at this. I wish I were, honestly. You own it, and you're very transparent about sharing your story, which is phenomenal because there's real power in that. So let's talk about your climbs. Again, you've climbed six of the seven summits. For those who don't know, the seven summits are the highest peaks in each of the continents of the world. The only one left is the highest, Mount Everest. Okay, that's still on the list. You have some rather interesting stories that I've been fortunate to hear already, but I want to share these ones again. Aconcagua, and that's in South America, that was a real eye-opener for you. Mm-hmm. Take us back to Aconcagua.
You know, that mountain, before I even went there, and I felt that I was fortunate just to be going there. But before I went, you know my son Brandon, right?
Sure.
One of his best friends, I guess maybe his bestest best friend, grew up in South America, you know, knows Argentina very well. And I was friends with his father. His father is a professor. And I was at a basketball game, and it's probably maybe 30 days prior to going to Aconcagua. And I was there to watch my son Brandon play, and his friend Mateo plays on the team. But Mateo's father, who was a professor at Stony Brook, was there, and I was chatting with him. And he, you know, I was telling him, yeah, I'm going down to, you know, Argentina to climb Aconcagua. And he's like, oh, you know, he reads the Argentinian newspapers. there's a couple of gentlemen that are trapped on top of the mountain, and they may not be able to rescue them. Oh, that's not good. You know, you're going down there. And I'm like, you know, why would you have to tell me that? You know, I'm already thinking, you know, it's the highest peak in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
In the West, that's kind of like a big deal, you know.
Because of course.
When I did summit it, you know, and I actually forget the time of the year it was at, but at one point I was standing at the highest point on the earth at that particular time,
you know, right,
because nobody was climbing Everest or any of the high peaks in the Himalayas. But, you know, at that point, I was.
Oh, because of when in the season that you climbed.
Exactly.
You right,
know. And
right.
It is, you know, it's a dangerous mountain, and it's got all these things going on there, you know, the weather, and it's just a lot. you know, so I didn't need to hear the bad news before I go, you know. You know, I truly was scared. I was afraid, but I was like, you know, I'm going, you know? And so, so I went, met an amazing team, you know, cause we all congregated down there. We all met down there and I was gone just about a month and, some things started to happen, to the team as we started the climb. And so two of the gentlemen that I was with had to be flown off by helicopter because they got sick. When I say sick, I mean mountain sickness, which could develop into pulmonary edema, you know, where your lungs start filling up with water due to the altitude. Some people, you know, they're just not adept and they can't handle the altitude. You know, we're really not meant to be living above 14,000 feet. We're really not meant to be living there, right?
It affects some people more than others.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know?
Right.
So two gentlemen had to be flown off. Then as we're pushing towards high camp, another gentleman, and I won't say his name, but I'll always remember this because this guy had all brand new gear. You know, he's one of these gear junkies.
Oh boy. Yep.
Brand new boots and the ice axe and the back, you know, all this stuff. And
he's like a catalog model. That's what he is. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it is a scary thing to do when you're on these mountains. It is scary, you know. But I remember we got up one morning and he was in his tent and he wouldn't come out of his tent and he was sitting in his tent and he was sobbing, you know, and he just couldn't go on. So.
See, he had a breakdown.
Yeah. You know, it was some sort of breakdown. I did not talk with him. But what I do find interesting about it is, and I get it, you know, people get scared and they don't want to go on because it is the unknown, right? And it is dangerous, and it's hard. It's extremely hard. The altitude, the climbing, the, you know, the steep cliffs, you know, the just everything. And but I find it interesting when one person, and we're talking about this one gentleman, you know. He raises his hand. He's like, I'm out, you know, that almost gives permission for somebody else who is having the same thoughts to back out. Does that kind of make sense?
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm done, too.
How can they blame me? Look at he tapped out, too. Right. Right.
And that's what happened. So two more climbers.
Really?
Had to go back down to base camp and then they were helicoptered off, you know.
Jeez.
And there was six of us left, I believe. And so we get up to about 18,000 feet. You know, we're pressing on, you know.
Sure, sure.
It is. And we get up to 18,000 feet and we got a message from dispatch back in Seattle and giving us an update on, hey, there's a storm coming in. You know, it looks like a pretty big storm. So, and then it starts to snow. So we start to set up our tents. We're going to hunker down. We're not going to, you know, kind of, it's already dangerous enough, you know.
Sure.
Exposure. So we're sleeping in tents, you know, and there's going to be a major snowstorm with high winds. And we hunker down. And that time when we were on the mountain, there was four teams climbing the mountain. And there was our team. There was a team from Argentina that was climbing the mountain. There was a team from Great Britain. And there was another team from Seattle. I think they were called the International Mountain Group. And the team from Great Britain, I took photos of them. They were still climbing off while it started snowing, right? They were going to push towards high camp. And I'm like, that's odd. You know, we're hunkering down and they're climbing off into the snowstorm. And I snapped a couple of shots of them, you know, all lined up. I think there was like nine of them, all lined up and climbing off into the storm, you know.
Wow.
Up to high camp. And then from high camp, then you push on to the summit, right? So, you know, the storm came in. I forgot about them because I'm concerned about myself. You know?
Right.
You know, and we're in our tents, and the storm lasted 3 days. 3 days.
3 days.
3 days of high winds, tons and tons of snow. You know?
What elevation, to give people a sense? So you're in a blizzard-like condition on a mountain in a tent. I can imagine the winds. How many feet up? What was the elevation roughly?
Right around 18,000 feet.
Okay.
You know, so you got all the elements going on, and, you know, I was like Jack Nicholson in my tent, you know, the movie, The Shining.
Oh yeah.
He's typing something over and over again.
Yep.
I was journaling, and I, you know me, I love to journal. I'm a daily journaler, and I brought my journal with me, and I'm writing in there over and over. I'm strong, calm, and confident. I'm strong, calm, and confident. That's how I was writing, you know.
Wait, say that again slow. So you're journaling, and it's kind of like an exercise for you, it sounds like, and you're in the middle of this blizzard, and what are you writing in your journal?
It's like a mantra. I say, right. You know, I am strong, calm, incompetent.
Wow. And this is 18,000 feet in a tent in a blizzard.
In a blizzard. So that just helped me get my mind right.
Right.
You know, because obviously you don't want to panic, right? You don't want to panic up there. You know, you don't want to lose it up there.
Right.
And right. So that kind of stuff helped me. You know, we're not really eating, you know, we're having hot cocoa and protein bars.
Right.
You know, so, and that's kind of the deal. And, but it ended, you know, 3 days later, but it takes its toll.
Sure.
But, we dug ourselves out, we packed up our gear, and we moved on up to high camp. High camp was, I think, about 19,100 feet. So from there, then you rest and you push on to the summit.
Right.
So, and you know, to be honest with you, I never even thought about that other Great Britain climbing team.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even cross my mind until we reached high camp and we got a briefing. We set up camp. We got a briefing around 7 p.m.
Right.
The next day's events, you know, how to prep.
Sure.
You know, it was going to be a 1 a.m. start. So we're going to get maybe 3-4 hours of rest, sleep, and then get up around 1 a.m., put your gear on, you know, and we'll have some hot cocoa or hot coffee, have a granola bar or two, and we're going to rope in and start our climb. But during the briefing, our team leader, Jeff, he briefed us on the weather was going to be pretty good. We're going to get up at 1 a.m., you know, have your hot packs ready to put in your foot warmers and your glove warmers. And it's going to be like super cold.
Sure.
And just have everything ready in your tent just to kind of put it on. And we're going to, you know, start marching. And he said, oh, by the way, during the dispatch that we got, we may end up passing some bodies from the Great Britain team. Three members of their team died due to exposure.
Wow.
So while they got that information, probably from one of the other Great Britain team members had a sat phone. And so they were calling in for rescue, correct? And so, but Jeff briefed us on that. You know, we may pass the bodies on the route up to the summit. And I was just like, holy, you know, I was just like, holy.
So you're actually, for the first time you're seeing dead bodies as you're yet to summit. So you're on the way to the summiting, and obviously the team from Great Britain, some of the members don't make it.
Yeah, they, three members died of exposure. And think about that, you know, I mean, if you're climbing and a storm is coming in and you're in the middle of it, it's almost impossible to set up camp, and you're just, you know, trying to run for cover, right? Run
whatever. Sure. And it's survival. Yeah.
You're exposed.
Right.
You're exposed, and you're not going to survive it typically. And so when Jeff told us that and I heard that, I was just like, okay, I'm not going. I'm done, you know. But I didn't verbalize it. Those thoughts were going through
my head. So then you had a moment in your mind where you were about to tap out. That thought process had entered your mind.
Absolutely. For sure. Right. It did. I was like, man, I was like really scared. Like, holy shit. You know, I really was. It took me back a little bit, you know? So I really had to think about what I was doing. You know, it wasn't, I don't have this death wish and okay, I'm good. I made it up to high camp. You know, I'm good. You know,
So let's talk about fear then. So that's a moment of real fear then. Yeah. It's a challenge in and of itself. Now you have three fellow, they weren't on the same team, climbers from Great Britain. They die. So obviously it's telling you now whatever mistakes they might have made, but it's telling you the conditions are rough. So you're starting to think, hey, is this really right for me? So
yeah, I didn't sign up for, you know, for dying. I signed up for trying to push myself physically. It was this whole thing of climbing the seven summits was a physical challenge, you know, but it's really more of a mental challenge.
So then, all right. So Tom, the question now then is when you were literally faced with fear and you're 18, 19,000 feet up, what does Tom Fabry say to himself to manage the moment and to get through it and to climb up instead of climbing back down at that moment?
Well, in that moment, you know, I was at 1 a.m. I got up and I just started moving. And I'm like, I'm going to attempt it, you know. There's a couple of reasons why I say that. I'm with a good team. We have a good, great team leader, right?
Right.
I knew I had trained for this event. So I thought physically I'm prepared, right?
Right.
And it seemed at the time that I was part of this team, we take a conservative approach to things, okay? You know, we're not out there diving off of cliffs and, you know, putting on a squirrel suit and just jumping out, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So there was those factors, but also I was going to at least attempt it, okay? So I've gotten this far. I have all these other things in my favor, right? So the favor meter was kind of pegged out, you know, good weather, strong team. I'm physically up for the challenge. You know, the rest of it's all in my head.
Right.
Talking myself out of it. You know, if we have to turn back at some point, then we have to turn back, you know, whatever reason. So I'm like, okay, I'll just take it. Okay, I'll put on my boots. I just start doing that, you know. I'm outside the tent. I'm lacing up my boots, putting on my crampons. Somebody handed me a hot cocoa. I put it down. I finish putting on my gear. I pick up my hot cocoa. It's frozen solid. It was frozen solid. Okay, that's not going to work.
A reminder of the elements, right?
So, and, you know, it's 1 a.m. It's dark. You know, we got our headlamps, and we just start putting one foot in front of the other. You know, that's kind of like a life scenario. Don't look up, look down, one right. foot in front of the other.
I love it. I love it.
And, or whatever you're trying to achieve, it's going to become overwhelming. Just do, you know, the one thing right now, right? You know, do the one thing right now. And all that was put one foot in front of the other. And
wow. So the story that you tell of Aconcagua, there's so many elements to it. So you've got, you know, the weather, the danger, the death of other team members from Great Britain. Mm-hmm. This starts to play on your mind. Mm-hmm. But as I'm seeing this, so much of this plays into what we're talking about in the Prophet Express today, is you had doubt. You faced fear, but then what you did is you kind of logically went through the checklist. You looked at yourself, hey, I'm physically ready for this. I got a great team, captain, leader, if you will. And you didn't really look up. You just said one foot in front of the other. And yeah. And you didn't quit, and you were able to overcome it, which is an amazing story. And again, this is the Prophet Express. And I'm Tim Healy, and I'm super excited to be back because we're coming off of what was, unfortunately, a all-too-long COVID-induced hiatus. And today's guest, which I think is a perfect guest to have back as we start things up again here, is Tom Fabry. He is adventurer, author, fitness expert, and mountain climber, as we just heard, of course, and life wrangler. Now, Tom, what I want to do is to talk about... You've made another bold move, as you made a number of bold moves and decisions on the mountains around the world. You made the bold move to introduce a brand new fitness product. Let's talk about that. And what is it called, by the way?
The Total Motion 360 Power Bar. Call it the Power Bar.
So now, as it's really become a whole new way of... You're looking at fitness because, you know, you were in bodybuilding a number of years ago, and it's really kind of morphed how you looked into fitness, and that was influenced by the mountains, and being able to climb mountains is more than just muscle. So take us through the journey now. So you've launched the product. Talk about your team. How are you getting it out there? What are some lessons you've learned so far? Now, you went through the patenting process. I mean, there's so much to this journey so far.
Yeah, it's just this amazing learning curve again, right? You know, lessons to be learned. And, you know, on some level, I think I'd rather be down in Antarctica climbing the highest peak down there than
on this. That's easier than being a startup, huh?
It's extremely difficult, on so many levels. You know, I have a lot of sleepless nights. There's a lot of emotional highs and lows.
Right.
You know, I'm not risking my life, but I'm risking, lots and lots of finances.
Right.
On this, journey, and, a lot of failure too. And you just have to persevere, going from the thought of this product and having the courage to pursue that thought, you know, because there's the naysayers out there that, well, that's, you know, ridiculous or whatever. But actually, there's been a lot of people that, you know, believe in it. And maybe because I've been through so much anyways, and they know my story, that they're like, okay, you're going to do this. You know,
they know what you bring to the table.
So, you know, but, you know, and then the patent process and then building prototypes and, you know, getting it. I think for me, one of the biggest challenges was having the courage to demo the product to different people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I put so much into it, just having the prototypes built, and they're super expensive.
Sure.
And then when you take it to somebody you know, potential investors, and you probably know how investors, you know, they do the beat down, as I call it. They ask all these kind of questions, and you don't have an answer for every question that they ask.
Right, right.
You know,
they look under the hood.
They do look under the hood, and a lot of them, it's just a numbers game, profit loss, you know, that kind of thing. But they don't understand the product. But for me, inventing the product, mm-hmm. it's a very personal thing. So I have to kind of, I learned to wipe that away. Because if somebody made a comment, I'd be like, no. No, this is how it works. This is how it's going to be done. This is the color. This is this, you know, and we're not making any, no changes. This is it.
Wow. You know? Wow. So you had to put the ego aside.
Yeah, you know, it's like your baby, you know, and
of course,
and it, you know, and you have to take that out of the equation.